You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Simon Beis Sifchas. Sifchas talks about an interesting situation that is very much nogea to me. Why is it nogea to me more than many of other of you, as opposed to many of you? That's because I am married to a Bas Kohen, and there's a certain halacha of who should or is appropriate to marry a Koheness. We have very few halachas that apply to Kohenesses. I mean, obviously, if Bas Kohen is Mizana, she gets Srefa, but we don't talk about that when you're married to a Kohen, but to a Bas Kohen. But the following halacha applies to me, not my wife, but to me. The question is, who is supposed to marry a Bas Kohen? Do you have to be a Talmud Chacham, or could you be somebody like me and still be allowed to marry a Kohenes? So let's see. Let me join you on my screen. And I'll share the good morning. Good morning, Chazan, Boker Tov. Good morning, Mr. 516, or Mrs. 516. Good morning as well. Here we go. One second, just adjusting my screens. Thank you. Okay, so we have a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. And the question at hand is something that is a shy, and maybe it should be. Again, for those of you, do we have any Kohanim on the line right now? I'm not sure if we have Kohanim on the line. But if you are a Kohen, then part of being a Kohen is not just that you have to do the kahuna when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, not just that you have to duchen, not just that you get to lead benching often. I'm learning Vayikra with my six-year-old, and he tells me about his Saba, who's going to have to do Malika. My six-year-old learns about Malika, and it excited him, and he's, you know, it's interesting to him that his Saba is going to have to do Malika. So whenever we sit there and learn, it's like, Saba's going to have to do Malika, you know that? So when he brings it up to my father-in-law tries to change the subject, because I think my father-in-law is very excited to, you know, serve in the Beis HaMikdash. I think Malika is one of those things that he's a little nervous about. I couldn't blame him. But the following halacha is something that I never really hear people talking about, but l'chora, it should be. It's a gemara that we'll see. We'll be passing the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see in a few minutes. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kos Te'uda She'ena Shel Mitzvah, Ein Talmud Chacham Rashai Lehanos Mimena. Okay, if you're Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't just be going to parties. I don't know if that's an appropriate thing to discuss on this Sunday of all Sundays. Today is a super Sunday in a certain sense, and here we're saying that if it's not a Suda Mishal Mitzvah, Talmud Chacham shouldn't be nana for such a Suda. But let's assume one of two things. Either that Super Bowl parties, are we going to somehow elevate them to a Suda Mitzvah, or maybe there's one other option, which I will omit, the other side of the coin. Maybe we don't have to consider ourselves a Talmud Chacham, and therefore we don't have to be bound by this. That's just I wasn't even planning on saying that, just, you know, sort of, that's just where we are on the calendar.
Rav Moshe Meir Weiss told us to retire. Rav Moshe Meir Weiss said, every basketball game we play, he said, you retire first.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, so if you tune in, I was actually thinking of sending, having the shul send out the RCA halftime show with four fabulous speakers. So if you could look at the RCA, I think it's the RCA, one of the rabbinic associations has a Torah halftime show. So if you do that, maybe that'll elevate the party to a Suda Mitzvah. Weiter. Kagomai, what's an example of a Suuda that's not a Suda Shel Mitzvah? And therefore, a Talmud Chacham, somebody like you, shouldn't participate in that Suuda. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kagon, Bas Kohen, Li Yisrael. If you have something special, you have kahuna, and you're going to dilute it by marrying a Yisrael, you're not going to marry a fellow Kohen and keep the pedigree pure, that's not a Suda Mitzvah. Such a wedding is not a Suda Mitzvah. A wedding, we're talking about a wedding. Such a wedding, the meal at a wedding, is not a Suda Mitzvah. Secondly, Ubas Tam Chacham Lam Ha'aretz. That perhaps resonates more clearly with us. You have a girl who grew up in a home of steeped in Torah, and she marries a low-class guy. That I understand. But the first line, we're talking about a Bas Kohen to marry Yisrael. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Bas Kohen Yisrael Ein Zivugan Ola Yafa. This is frightening for me. Why? I'm marrying a Bas Kohen, I'm Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us that this is not going to be a harbinger of a good Zivug. How so? In what sense will it not be a good Zivug? My high. So we're going to have two Mahalchim, Rav Chista and a Breiser. I'm Rav Chista. What will happen to a marriage of a Kohen? Is there anyone else married to a Bas Kohen here? Is it just me? I'm sure somebody else here is married to a Bas Kohen. No one else? Okay, so now I'm just talking about myself. So, O Almana Rachmana Litzlan, O Grusha, O Zera Eidla. Somebody who marries a Yisrael, marries a Bas Kohen, so the future of that marriage has one of these three terrible outcomes. Either the husband will die, divorce, or there won't be children. Where does this come from? How does the Gemara know that? How did Rav Chisda know this? So if you look at Rashi says that Rav Chisda figured out from the Pesukim Alein. Kedichsiv, it says by the halachas of Kuhuna, Ubas Kohen Kisiel Ishzar, it talks about the halachas of Bas Kohen marrying, and then it says after that, Bas Kohen Kisiel Almano Grusha Vizera Einla, talks about specifically being an Almano or Grusha or not having children. So the smichas of those two Pesukim, Rav Chisda understands, tells us what's going to happen if a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael. That is very frightening to me. The Masnisa Tana, it says in the Braisa, a different set of outcomes. O Kovra, O Kovarto. It's frightening. Oma Viasli Danius. She'll bury him, or he'll bury her, or they will come to poverty. So this is very frightening. Ini asks the Gemara, is that really true that you should very much avoid a Bas Kohen? You know, it sounds like, I mean, on one hand, Bas Kohen is marrying the Yisrael, that's one thing, but for the Yisrael, stay away from those Bas Kohens. Now Bas Kohens is hard, Shidduchim are hard enough. Now anyone who's a Kohen is not going to marry any boys to marry into their daughters because everyone's going to be scared of these terrible outcomes. That's what the Gemara asks. Well, Amar of Yochanan, Harotza Shisash, I thought it's good to marry into a Kohen's family, right? I thought I was going up a level. Certainly if you come to Kuna, certainly you're going to become wealthier and it's a good thing. So why is it so you're saying it's bad for about Yisrael to marry a Bas Kohen? I thought Rabbi Yochanan says it's good to stick to Kohanim and Kohen's families. Says the Gemara, Lokasha, Haba Talmud Chacham, Haba Am Haaretz. The Gemara says, as she explains, Talmud Chacham hu shvach lo. If a Talmud Chacham marries a Bas Kohen, that's a shvach to the Kohen. I think that's what it means, a shvach to the Kohen. Aval Am Ha'aretz ve'ein a Kohen. If this girl, Bas Kohen, is going to marry an Am Ha'aretz, and he's not a Kohen, he has nothing going for him, then G'nai hu lo le'aron. It's a G'nai to Aaron that one of his granddaughters is marrying a boy. He's not a Kohen. And B, he's not even a Talmud Chacham. That's a gnai for Aaron. A Kohen family. So now you see something fascinating. You see, number one, that if you're a Kohen, a Bas Kohen, and you marry a Kohen, then, excuse me, if you marry a guy who's a dodo head, but his last name is Cohen, that's fine. He could be an Am Ha'aretz if he's a Cohen. At least you're keeping, you know, the Kuhuna status, at least that's being maintained. So you have a Bas Cohen, married a dodo head, last name is Cohen, fine. At least they're both Kohanim. But if he's a Yisrael, then he better be a Talmud Chacham. If he's not a Talmud Chacham, then what right do you have, young lady, to abuse your Kohen status, your Bas Kohen status, to marry a guy who's A, not a Kohen, you're marrying out of the family, and B, you're marrying a guy who's a dodo head, you have no right to do that. That's a bizayon to your grandfather, to Aaron HaKohen, and that will bring with it, Rachmana Litzlan, that will bring with it, the Gemara says, not such good things. So what we have to figure out is, does this Chazal, which again, in the case that it's, according to the Maskanos HaDvarim, it's only a problem if it's a boy who's a Yisrael boy who marries who's an Am Ha'aretz, but if you'd be a Talmud Chacham, then it's okay. So does this apply equally b'zman hazeh? Is anything different nowadays? Meaning I could question two things. I could question maybe the Talmidei Chachamim and the Am Ha'aretz nowadays are different than the Talmidei Chachamim and Am Ha'aretz of history, previously in history. Or I could question a different point of the Gemara. I could question that maybe the Kohanim nowadays are different than the Kohanim of yesteryear. So these are going to be two questions that we're going to have to address to see if this very frightening Gemara of a Bas Kohen marrying a regular, you know, nice guy that she meets at a, you know, online, or a nice guy that she meets in college, is that going to be a problem?
Rabbi, is it Bas Yisrael? What about a Bas Yisrael marrying an Amoretz?
Bas Yisrael marrying an Amoretz, so she's a Bas Yisrael. What does she have going for her anyway? She's a Bas Yisrael.
Did she marry Amoretz?
Okay, so that's a different issue. Different issue, and that will, but there's a specific Shaila by Kohen, not by Yisrael. So I think there was a Simon, I think in the past Simon, there was a Sif about that, but let's put that aside. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and Paskins, and this is what we're up to. So Shulchan Aruch, Simon Beis, Sif Ches, this is where we're holding. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Am Haaretz Lo Yisa Kohenes. Isn't it interesting the way the Shulchan Aruch phrases it? It's not that if you have a daughter, if you're a Kohen and you have a daughter who's a Bas Kohen, don't let your daughter marry this guy. I could hear that because, you know, you have something special, you have this fine pedigree, don't let your daughter lower herself to marry an Am Haaretz. No, that's not how the Shulchan Aruch presents itself. It's talking about you. Hi, you Am Haaretz, you're learning the Shulchan Aruch, Mr. Am Haaretz. Make sure, stay away from a Bas Kohen. Stay away from a Bas Kohen. Vimnasa ein zivugam olu yafe. And look which one of the two outcomes the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Sheyom Asu, God forbid. O Himahera, one of the two parties could die early, God forbid. O Takala Tava Beinehem, or some obstacle will come between them. I'm bothered by those words. You know why? Could we go back to the Gemara? The Gemara presented two possible scenarios, two possible outcomes to such a marriage. There was a fist and a brace, these two bullet points. The first one is Almana, she'll become an Almana, meaning the guy will die, or Grusha, they'll get divorced, or Zera Eimla, they won't have children. The second opinion says Kovra o Kovarto, one of them will die, Amavila de Enyos. And has the Shulchan Aruch record this? Either one of them will die, O Takala Tava Bene, will there be some other problem with them, for them? That doesn't perfectly match either of these opinions. Again, the second one, the Braisa, that sort of similar, Kovro will come out to one of them will die, or they'll come to poverty. The first one is, you know, he'll die, or there'll be Grusha, or they won't have children. It could be the Shulchan Aruch is just including all the other different outcomes. All of these outcomes are pretty negative, right? Whether it's they won't have children, or they'll get divorced, or they'll be impoverished. They're all going to be issues with the marriage. They all have potential impacts on the marriage, so I think the Shulchan Aruch is throwing them all together. Okay, that's as far as the negative. Aval, here he's passing like the Maskan of the Gemara. Aval Tamut Chacham Shino Seikel Henes. So here, not only does he say that it's permitted for Tamut Chacham to marry Bas Kohen, Hareze Noya Umeshubach is a positive thing. Why? Because what is it? You have, it's like a power marriage. You have Torah, Ukahuna, coming together. V'malkam Echad. You have the guys of Talmud Chacham, the girls of Bas Kohen, and you put that together. Now you have a real power marriage. So that's a really great thing, says the Shulchan Aruch. It seems that the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Gemara without any adjustments to Bizman Hazeh. The Shulchan Aruch is written, obviously, I mean, even the Gemara is written after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any emendation or any adjustment for Kohanim nowadays. Like, oh, that was only the time of, you know, Kohanim Bavodasim, but nowadays, you know, Kohanim aren't as whatever. No, the Shulchan Aruch is passing this halacha. So it sounds like there's a, if you know a guy who's an qualified Am Haaretz, and he happens to be schmoozing with you about, you know, different girls that were mentioned to him, and one of them's last name is a girl named Kohn, you should tell him, you know, I don't know how to say this nicely, but you're a little bit of an Am Haaretz, and she's a Kohen, it's not going to be good for you to marry that girl. Maybe stick to, you know, some other girl whose last name isn't Kohen or Katz, because, no offense, but you're an Am Haaretz. So I'm not sure how to have that conversation with somebody, but that is presumably what you should advise somebody in such a circumstance. Let's see what the Mefarshim say on this line of the Shulchan Aruch. Comes to Pesachei Tshuva. Pesachei Tshuva is a, not really commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, but is somebody who quotes the various Sfarim, the Achronim who discuss this point in the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, I want you to give a look in the Chavos Yoyer. Why? Because look at the Chavos Yira who writes, the Ein Lano Am Ha'aretz Shadibru Chachomim Po. We don't have those Am Ha'aretzes that the Shulchan Aruch is speaking of. I just told you that if you know a guy who's an Am Ha'aretz, tell him stay away from going out with a girl who's a Kohenes, whose last name is Kohen or Katz. We don't have those Am Ha'aretzes nowadays. So we'll have to see. What does he mean by that? We'll see soon. That's one point. We don't have an Am Ha'aretz. But maybe we also don't have a Talmud Chacham that the Shulchan Aruch says either. Let's see. There's a Shulchan Aruch not here, but we're going to jump to Yoredeya. In Yoredeya, there's a siman of the halachas of Kavod Rabba of a Talmud Chacham. And the Ramah there says that there are certain halachas that apply to Talmidei Chachamim. In terms of taxes, we know that a Talmud Chacham is exempt from military tax, from defense taxes, because they provide, through their learning Torah, they provide a certain protection to the cities. There's another halacha that refers to a Talmud Chacham that if somebody's mevazeh, a Talmud Chacham, there's a special fine of a certain amount of gold that is fined to somebody who's mevazeh, a Talmud Chacham. Says the Rama over there in Yoredeya, in Hilchas Kavod Rav, Kavod Talmud Chacham. V'yafal gav de'ein b'doreinu achshav. Says the Rama in the 1500s, we don't have a Chacham regarding inyan shiyatunu l'litra d'dava in Mevaisho. If someone would be Mevaish of a Talmud Chacham, we no longer have those great Talmidei Chachamim who deserve that. If you Mevaish somebody like him, you have to pay a liter of Zav. Mikom akom l'inyan l'patru mimas. As far as exempting a Talmud Chacham of nowadays Talmud Chacham from defense taxes, that we are willing to consider a genuine Talmud Chacham of our generation to be a qualified Talmud Chacham regarding defense taxes. Rakshi Himosu, the Talmud Chacham, as long as he's considered in the neighborhood, in this city, a Talmud Chacham. So what do you see from this Ramah? You see from the Ramah is telling us that our Talmidei Chachamim don't have the full status. You know, maybe for defense taxes, we'll consider it I don't know if you have any accountants here, but maybe sometimes you want to consider deduction. Okay, I'll consider deduction. You know, just because, you know, people say, is this a good tzedakah? Just because it's considered tax deduction doesn't mean it's a good tzedakah, right? So just because, you know, we'll give you a leniency, and okay, you don't have to pay defense taxes, we'll consider you exempt for that. That doesn't mean that you're really a Talmud Chacham in the Shas's definition of a Talmud Chacham. The Rama is telling us that we don't have the full bona fide Talmud Chacham that we had in the time of Shas. Oh, but if that's the case, maybe we could argue that if we don't have the real Talmud Chacham, maybe we don't have the real Am Ha'aretz either. Or maybe the whole milah, the whole requirement that we want a Bas Kohen to marry, well, a Kohen or a Talmud Chacham, we don't have Talmud Chacham nowadays, so go ahead and let her marry whoever she wants. So let's see how this question could unfold. Have a beautiful Kohanim. Yeah, go ahead.
Do we have real Kohanim?
That's going to be a very good point. We'll talk about that at the end of this Tshuva. So, Maram Shek.
Is also the Rabbi he's talking about the Shulchan Aruch about whether we should allow her to marry this Bas Kohen to marry Amaris. Can we stop her? I mean, the child members new parents' advice.
Excellent question. We're not going to stop anyone from getting married. That's because I think we learned months ago that we're not, when it comes to Nyoni Zivugim, the Bez Din likes to take a step back and not get involved. That the Shulchan Aruch said explicitly that we're not mocha when it comes to marriages. I guess Chachamim realized that Shidduchim is a hard parasha for everybody, and if somebody's getting married, we don't like mixing in. That's an explicit Shulchan Aruch that we don't get involved in these kinds of, like, if you happen to know your next door neighbor is a Talmud Chacham, and you happen to know that the guy, his daughter's going out with the guy, and you happen to know that the guy is a real Am Ha'aretz. I mean, sometimes I'm a Rebbe, so I could tell you some of my kids, they're real Am Ha'aretz. Well, maybe by definition, he's going to Yeshiva, he's not an Am Ha'aretz. But let's say I say, you know, I see a guy in the neighborhood going out with one of my students. I'm like, I know him, he's my student. His average in my class is a 32 on his Gemara tests. He's a bona fide, qualified, certified Am Ha'aretz. Should I tell my congregant, you know, I think your daughter should drop him because he's a real Am Ha'aretz? Well, maybe that's exactly what she does. So the Shulchan Aruch says, we're not mocha. We don't get involved. We don't get involved. People, they make their own decisions. The Shulchan Aruch tells us who you should look for, what the proper thing to do is, but the Bezdin will not actively disengage people who want to marry one another because of these types of halachas. Okay, let's look at the shaila that was presented to the Maram Shek, which is exactly our shaila. Nishalti, I was asked. Now, when did the Maram Shek live? He lived, I think, in the late 17s, early 18s, Yossi?
He lived in the 18th, 19th century. He was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, so we lived
in Maram Shek was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. Okay, so let's say mid-1800s, something like that.
Sure. Fine.
Mid-late 1800s. Nishalti, I was asked, Im gam bizman hazeh rashay tamid chacham lisa kohenes. Let's say you have a guy, a really good yeshiva kid, really good boy in yeshiva, second best guy in Lakewood, like so many of them, and he's going with a girl, and the girl's last name is Cohen or Katz. Are they allowed to, like, is this a problem? I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, if you're a Talmud Chacham, then it's okay. But I don't know if we are a real Talmud Chacham nowadays. Maybe we don't have that heter to marry a Bas Kohen nowadays because the Kohanim nowadays aren't real. I'm sorry, the Talmud Chacham nowadays are not the Talmud Chacham of yore that the Gemara requires. Came in Shemavur B'Shulchan Aruch that we just saw. It ain't Talmud Chacham is manazeh. So this leniency, again, a Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a Kohen, even if he's a dodo head. But she can't marry Yisrael unless he's a Talmud Chacham. But I don't know if we have Talmidei Chachamim bizman hazeh. That's the question, Maram Shik's question. Not only that, but especially when guys are going out when they're 21 years old, so even if, you know, when he's 40, maybe he'll be a Talmid Chacham, but right now he's 21. So how big a Talmid Chacham could a guy be? You know, high school, he was playing ball and video games. He finally got to yeshiva and got serious when he was about 18. He figured out how to learn a blot when he was 18 and a half. So, okay, he's 21 now. He's been learning for 3 years. Like he's a Talmud Chacham? Yeah, he's really a good – he's one of the best guys in the yeshiva. He learns all day. But Amaisa, what kind of Talmud Chacham? He's been learning for – he's only 21 years old. Ubefrat Bachrim Halomdim. Sha'adayim b'vaday lo yigil madreis Talmud Chacham. Even if he's on the right trajectory, he's going the right direction. But right now, he's a little kid, you know. He's 21 years old. Just started dating. He's not a Talmud Chacham. Is he allowed to go out with a girl whose last name is Cohen or Katz? And Rishon Lisa Kohenes, the Gemara was very frightening. I mean, it's a terrifying Gemara. Shena Zivago Yafa. And we know that we have a klal, Chamir Sakanta Meisura, that maybe we should be even more concerned with these dangers that Chazal warn us of than actual Isurim that Chazal specify. Chamir Sakanta Meisura. Or he says on the other side of the coin, oh, Dinema, maybe we could say, the Bizman Hazeh, this is what Tata Halanda raised. Maybe the Kohanim aren't real Kohanim. I don't mean it like that. I mean, maybe we don't have a strong enough yichus of Kohanim. The name of Bizman Hazeh, Enor Kohanim Yichusim. Maybe the yichus of Kohanim nowadays is questionable, and they don't have to be such sticklers to marry only other, you know, to maintain their pedigree. They could be a little bit more easygoing in who they marry because they're not really bona fide Kohanim necessarily either. Furthermore, was asked the Maram Shik, Vod, Sharei Haramah lo yigia klub b'Eben Hazer. In our Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah never said anything. Which means, it sounds like the Ramah, our Shulchan Aruch said that a Bas Kohen should not marry a Yisrael Amoretz, right? This regular halacha. The Ramah didn't say, oh, but nowadays everything's different. V'nira d'sfilei, the afal pi she'ein din Talmud Chacham b'zman hazeh. Let me see what he's saying. The Ramah holds from in Yoredeya, in Hilchas Talmud Chacham, that we don't have Talmidei Chacham bizman hazeh. Yet, in our Shulchan Aruch, by marriage, the Ramah didn't mention any difference of nowadays as opposed to bizman hazeh, as opposed to the time of Shah, in the time of, you know, earlier in history. It sounds like even though the Ramah, who holds we don't have real Talmud Chacham, still says that you have to marry, a Bas Kohen has to marry a Talmud Chacham. So it sounds that he holds that even our Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to marry a Bas Kohen. Because, right, the Arshul Chanar says that if you're a Talmidei Chacham, then you're allowed to marry a Bas Kohen. Even though he holds that we don't really have Talmidei Chacham as much, but he didn't make any amendations to say that now is different, that now you can't really marry a Bas Kohen, can't marry a Talmidei Chacham, nowadays because we don't have them. He didn't say that. It's mashma that Misha Lo made, Nal Azar Shal Ara L'Davik Bo. That as long as a guy's learning, guys have Ben Torah, guys learning in yeshiva, that it is appropriate for him to marry a Bas Kohen. So these are the questions. Let's now look to see what the Maram Shik answers. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Malach HaLam Shalom Yom Gvaro. So this is going to be the main. So we set up all the questions, and here we're going to go. This is going to be the main part of the shir. Says Maram Shik, Afagav shekostav b'rama. Even though the Rama paskind in Yoredeya by the Talmud, the halachas of Talmud Chacham, that we don't have one bismanazeh. Tein Talmud Chacham bismanazeh. Look what he says. We don't have a Talmud Chacham bismanazeh. You might not be, and even the Bnei Yeshiva in our days might not be Talmidei Chachamim, but that doesn't mean they're Amei Ha'aretz. And I'll explain. Shus Yaakov says, even though nowadays even our Bnei Torah are not Talmidei Chachamim of the quality that Shas defines, but you know what? They do meet the threshold. They do reach the threshold of a different description in Shas. Surva me rabbanon mikre afilu bismanazeh. You know, sometimes you go through a black gemara, they talk about surva me rabbanon, young rabbis. That is the guys in yeshiva, what we call our talmidei chachamim. They do meet that threshold of Shas of a surva me rabbanon. Kol makos shomru chachamim zal surva me rabbanon kam ha'idna ha'ben Torah b'chlal. If you have a Ben Torah, a guy who's sitting and learning in yeshiva, at least him, he is called Surva Meir Abana, the same Surva Meir Abana that you found in Shas. The guys who are learning in yeshiva now, they are considered Surva Meir Abanas. Maybe not a Talmud Chacham, but they're definitely not an Am Haaretz. They're even more than an Am Haaretz. They're at least a Surva Meir Abana. So we worried, oh, you don't want this Kohen girl to marry an Am Haaretz? Don't worry. He might not be a Talmud Chacham, but he's still no Am Haaretz. And I'll prove it to you. Because after all, how do I know that I could call a guy Bizman Hazeh a Tzurva Mirabana? Because if you look at Rashi and Tainus, when he defines what is the word Tzurva Mirabana is, Perusho, Bachur Charif, a sharp Bachur. Now, in the olden days, how old were the boys when they got married? Those of you who learned Kiddushin know that the Gemara talks about getting married as early as 14, but okay, maybe it wasn't 14, was like really incredible, but most people didn't get married that old. Okay, 16, 17, 18, 19. So, you know, how big a Talmud Chacham could anybody be when they're 17 years old? As he said, Mistama Gamsh Elish Shemon Chacham and Psachim, Shnasu Kanos, when it talks about the Talmud Chacham was allowed to marry a Kohen, well, how old did people get married? Presumably, they got married when they were Bacharim. Did Bavel, because that Gemara was in Bavel, and Bavel, based on the Gemara and Kedusha, which we're not going to go into, they did get married when they were young. They got married, and then they learned Torah after they got married. They got married very young, before they were, reached anything significant in learning. So you see that even a young guy, as long as he's on the right trajectory, he's a yeshiva boy, a yeshiva, ben yeshiva, that's already sufficient. So, so there's not going to be an iser. We're not going to say, if a girl's going to marry a guy who's a yeshiva boy, we're not going to say it's an Am Haaretz. But now, watch what he's going to do. Watch what Maram Shek is going to do. Maram Shek is going to do some fancy footwork. I'm going to prove to you now that maybe, and he's going to do some fancy footwork in a minute, that maybe our Talmidei Chachamim, our yeshiva boys, it's clear they're not Amei Haaretz, fine. But are they Talmidei Chachamim? Well, watch this, says the Maram Shik. If you look in the Gemara, in Pesachim, Gemara says that an Am Haaretz shouldn't marry a Kohenes. But a Kohen, you remember we talked about what it has if the boy's a Kohen and the girl's a Kohen? Then they can marry, even if the boy is an Am Haaretz, right? That we said. That's what we said in the Gemara. Right? Remember, the Gemara said, if a Bas Kohen shouldn't marry a Yisrael who's an Am Haaretz. If a Bas Kohen wants to marry another Kohen who's a dodo head, that's totally fine, right? Because she's maintaining her pedigree. She's from the Kohen family. She's Zera Aaron. He's Zera Aaron. He's a lowlife. He's a mushkus. But he's Zera Aaron. So that is permitted, right? Wait a second. Can I ask you a question? In our hierarchy of respect, in our hierarchy of in halacha, who do we view on a higher point on the pedestal? Do we view higher a guy whose last name happens to be Cohen, who doesn't know who the Zama Aretz, or do we more respect a guy who's a Yisrael, but an accomplished Ben Torah? Who do we respect more? Well, Chazal tell us what we should do. After all, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch regarding numerous halachas, regarding, let's say, somebody needs money. Two guys knock on your door. One guy happens to be a Kohen, but he's not Ma'aretz. The other guy is Rosh Hashiva. Who do you help? Who do you help? Who do you give stucker to? The Kohen? We pass him, Mamzer Talmud Chacham. You know this line. Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Kodem Kohen God, Alam Ha'aretz. So if we hold that a Mamzer Talmud Chacham goes before a Kohen God, Alam Ha'aretz, so wait a second. Let's just now do the math. If a Kohenes is allowed to marry a Kohen Am Ha'aretz, well, who's better than a Kohen Am Ha'aretz? A Mamzer Talmud Chacham. That means a Talmud Chacham is better than a Kohen Am Ha'aretz. And if we said that a Bas Kohen, like my wife, is allowed to marry an Am Ha'aretz if he's a Kohen, then certainly she should be allowed, this is the Lomdus, certainly she should be allowed to marry a non-Kohen, right? Like a Mamzer or something, if he's a Talmud Chacham. Because if we pass that a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is greater than a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz, Muchach degam Talmud Chacham o Ben Torah bezman hazeh adif mi Kohen Gadol. Right? If you have a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz, right? Somebody who lived in the second Beis HaMikdash, and he did the Avodah b'fnai b'fnim, but he's an Am Ha'aretz. You go to Rabbi Kalish's Daf Yomi, you've been going for 20 years, and you've traveled through Shas 2-3 times. You're on a higher madrig than that Talmud Chacham. I'm sorry, but than that Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz. So if that Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz, even if he wasn't a Kohen Gadol, a regular Kohen, is allowed to marry this girl, because he's a Kohen and she's a Kohen, she's a Kohen and he's a Kohen, no problem. Well, you're higher than him. You're a Talmud Chacham. So you might not be a Kohen, but a Talmud Chacham is greater than a status we hold than a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz. So she's allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz. Certainly, she should be allowed to marry a Talmud Chacham. And that is the conclusion of the Maram Sheik. And the Maram Sheik, just to put the icing, you know, the cherry on top, says, I have another reason why you should be able to have a Ben Torah permitted, Bizman Hazeh, permitted to marry, again, a Ben Torah. If he's Taka, an Am Ha'aretz, and he's a Yisrael, we're not fighting any Heterim. There is no Heter. Except for the question that Dr. Hollander raised, that maybe our Kohanim aren't real Kohanim. But until we go there, there's not going to be any Heter for a Am Ha'aretz Yisrael to marry a girl's last name is Kohn. But he says, I have another Svara to be Matir. What's the whole reason? Why is it that this Bas Kohen has to be careful who she marries? What's the reason?
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
The Zilbastag, look at this next paragraph. The Zilbastag, look at the reason why there's the Isser in the first place. Why a Bas Kohen can't marry an Amaris. The Mavur Barashi of Sachem. We should the Gnaihu Aharon, She Yedabig Zaro, the Amharis Isser. It's a Gnai to Aaron HaKohen. But nowadays, when you call up the Rosh Hashiva, who do you want? You want to marry your daughter to? A Ben Torah. A Ben Torah is considered, you know, top of the totem pole, whatever it is, the best guy in yeshiva, right? Every father wants to say, my daughter's marrying the best guy in yeshiva. My daughter is marrying, you know, she got a guy, of course, never go for the best guy in Lakewood because it's false. You always want the second best guy in Lakewood. So my daughter guy is marrying the second best guy in Lakewood. So that's what everybody wants. It's a covet, right? Wow. He's a great learner. That's what everyone wants to hear. That's all the father-in-laws want to hear. Oh, my son-in-law is a big learner. He's a big master. That's what you want to hear, right? Well,
yeah, but you got to read between the lines usually too sometimes. You all know.
Right, so that's what they say. He's a really nice boy. That means stay
you'll
away.
See.
He doesn't know how to learn.
He shows up on time for sure. You'll see.
Ivey, what a funny generation we live in. You can't say somebody's nice because that means that they're stupid, right? If they say he's really nice, I guess they're no brains there.
Right. They don't want to hassle anybody, really. But okay, no, I'm right. Sorry.
So says the Maram Sheik, the whole reason why we want this Kohen to marry, this Bas Kohen to marry a Talmud Chacham, or not to marry an Am Ha'aretz Yisrael, It's because the kavod of Aaron, the kavod of kahuna. We want to elevate kahuna. If nowadays in our society, Baruch Hashem, we respect a guy who's considered a good Talmud Chacham, and it's considered a kavod for a girl to marry a Talmud Chacham, since in our community that is kavod, so, and we have a mitzvah to be mechabed such a person, even a young Talmud Chacham, we have to be mechabed, right? Like the Gemara in Kedushin says, Zakein doesn't mean an elder. You don't just have to stand up for a 70-year-old Talmud Chacham. Zakein is Zeh Kana Chachma. You have to stand up. If you have a young Talmud Chacham, you have to stand up for him too. That's how we paskin. So since it's covered for us, we have to give him covered. So are you degrading, are you disgracing Aaron HaKohen, Kahuna? Are you disgracing Aaron HaKohen? Are you disgracing the Kahuna status that you come from, that you stam from? No, to the contrary, you're elevating it by marrying a Talmud Chacham. So therefore, it's a covered. So yes, our Talmud Chachamim should be sufficient to warrant, to allow a Bas Kohen to marry.
Rabbi, according to this first reason, is it fair to equate the obligation to sustain a Talmud Chacham over a Kohen Amaretz to whether you should marry into the Kohuna?
I think he's saying that if we see that we would give tzedaka, we'd rather give tzedaka, we'd rather sustain, we'd rather, if you have to save a life, rather do that to a mamzer Talmud Chacham over a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. So it shows that there's more of a chashivas. Again, not covered, that's the second svara that he's saying. Nothing about who you mechabed more. It sounds that we see as on a higher level, again, it's not nice for you and I to make levels of people, but the Mishnah did, that the person who is a Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham is a mamzer, is on a higher level than just because of the fact that you were born into a certain family.
That doesn't speak to the obligation that we have, perhaps, to continue the line of Kohanim.
Right, but remember, the girl who's marrying a guy, she's not really continuing the line of Kahuna, because the child that they bear will follow the husband, not her anyway. But there's, I hear your heart. You're saying that if the whole point is that she's from Kahuna, so she shouldn't marry out of Kahuna, but that's not really true, because the Gemara already said that if he's a Talmud Chacham, it's okay for her to marry out of Kahuna. So you can't say it's just a concern for her or her genetic line. We don't want to lose that Kohen edge. We don't want to lose that genetic powerhouse status that we have in our Kohen genes, right? Those gene markers that Kohanim have, that temper that Kohanim are known to have. We want to keep that temper, you know, strong. You can't say it's just that, because the Gemara said explicitly, the conclusion the Gemara said, that if he's a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to marry him, even if you're a Bas Kohen. So there is allowance for a Talmud Chacham. Okay. Now, let's go to the point that Dr. Hollander raised, that maybe this whole discussion really shouldn't be good. Because maybe our Kohanim aren't real Kohanim. So maybe I married a Kohen, let's say, you know, I wish I was a Talmud Chacham, I'm just a Dodo Head Am Haaretz, and therefore, you know, I feel bad for my wife, she's stuck with me, Baruch Hashem, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu should save us from any tzaris in our marriage, but maybe it's okay because, hey, maybe my father is not a real Kohen. My wife is not a real Bas Kohen. Maybe. Could you say that? Umash, of course, and I was going to entertain that possibility in the blue. Umash, because yesh letzad da'ina, one could wonder, ha-kohanim hem rak kohani chazaka, right? They're not vaday kohanim. This is just a chazaka that they're kohanim. Al-kain kill me al yusudidu. Their level, their, you know, that they have to hold themselves to this very high standard, not marry out to a lowly Israel. I don't think you could say that. I don't think you could say that to Hanu your svara that the Kohanim of now are a lower level Kahuna status than they were previously. Because when do we say that? When will we say that the Kohen status is questionable? Look what he says. The davka le'inyan davar shebe mamon ikala me'markei. When it comes to a Kohen who wants to extract money from me, he wants to extract money, my truma, he wants to extract Pidyon HaBen money from me, then I could say, I don't know about Pidyon HaBen money, then I could say, well, al pi rov you're going, but guess what? B'mamon on ein halchen achar harov. So when it comes to monetary matters, yes, I'll pay Rav, you're a Kohen, but in money matters, we don't follow Rav. So therefore, in money matters, I don't have to consider you a Kohen. That's only in money matters. When it comes to money matters, so when it comes to anything financial, then we could argue that you will question, are you a real Kohen or not? But anything that's not related to money, just related to lineage, for example, Avalayin Shardvam, Hakohanim, Bechezkasayu, Ad Kiyavu Hagoel, Bimheira, Biamena, Amen. Kohanim nowadays, when it's not coming to matters of financial issues, have every status, have the full status of being a Kohen, no ifs, no ands, no buts, until Mashiach comes, meaning maybe when Mashiach comes, he'll clarify that a certain family isn't. But until that point, until we know otherwise, we could assume that a Kohen is a Kohen is a Kohen, except for financial questions when rov is not enough to define somebody as a Kohen. And therefore, this requirement, the Me'arim Shik says, that a Bas Kohen has to maintain her status does apply Bizman Hazeh. The leniency he's giving us is that a Talmud Chacham nowadays will still be sufficient for her to marry. So halacha l'maaseh, we are coming out that a Bas Kohen could marry either another Kohen, or a Yisrael Talmud Chacham, or a Ben Torah at least, but it's Taka, according to the Shulchan Aruch, a Bas Kohen should not be marrying a Yisrael who's an Amhar, who's not a Ben Torah. You're actually coming out with that very unusual halacha right now. Something that before this morning you might not have ever thought of. What do you do when you have a girl who's not, she's a Bas Kohen, but she herself is not holding it to be appropriate for a Ben Torah? It's a Taka going to be an issue. So if a girl's a Bas Kohen, she should really make herself the kind of girl who would be appropriate to marry a Ben Torah, because halachically that's what she's obligated to do. She shouldn't be marrying an Amharat. How big a Ben Torah does he have to be? He's the guy who says, I want to live forever? 7 to 10 years? 3 to 5 years? 1 to 2 years? What's the Talmud Chacham? You know, nowadays we have very, you know, it's not just a good boy anymore. It's not just like, oh yeah, he knows how to learn anymore. Now it's, you know, exactly. I'm a 7 to 10, or I'm a 3 to 5, or I'm a 1 to 2, or I'm a, you know, 1 year in Ramadish school, then I'm, you know, going to law school. Who's considered Talmud Chacham here? So look at what Rav Avadya writes. Bring this Mahash Halacha Maisa. So says Rav Avadya in Yalkut Yosef. First, he says you got to be careful. It's a real halacha. Tzarech lizor ma'od. That which Chazal said that an amharet should not marry kohenis. Hakavana al amharet. What's an amharet? Look at this. Look at this, Rabbi Sari. Amharet shu chafshi u'mechal Shabbos ve'avaryon. Wow. This is more than we've seen anywhere else. Again, I don't have Rav Avadya. I'm sure has other sources for this. This is the only amharet that we're talking about. That's a problem that the Torah is said, that the Gemara says carries all the terrifying outcomes of whether that one will bury the other, they'll be impoverished, they won't have children. That's if you have a Bas Kohen marrying a guy who's chafshi. Chafshi means he's not observant. He's a Michal Shabbos, he's an Avarian. That's where the Bas Kohen has to be careful. There's a danger of life to both of them, right? The Gemara says either one could die. Aval Bacher, look at the contrast. It's not exactly the opposite. You know, it's not exactly, you know, if you are somewhat observant, it's a little bit more than Aval Bacher Sheben Torah, V'yirei Shamayim, look what he said. So again, you have to, I don't know, like, where he's getting this number from. Ulechol HaPachas Lomid B'chol Yom B'kviyas Shav Yosar. He learns every day for an hour. He goes to Daf Yom Yishir. That's ready enough. Mutal Alisa Kohenes. Even though he's not a Talmud Chacham, not everybody who goes to Daf Yom, many people go to Daf Yom Yishir Talmud Chacham. But just because a guy spends an hour learning that doesn't make him Talmud Chacham, Afal Bishen Begedo Talmud Chacham, but the fact that he is Kavei Itim, he learns an hour a day, that's already enough of a status that it's appropriate for him to marry a Bas Kohen. But maybe you say, you know, maybe there'll be a really frum kid, yeshiva boy, and he's very humble and he doesn't hold himself to be a Talmud Chacham. He says, I'm terrified of this Gemara. I don't want to marry a girl whose last name is Cohen. Because very nice, Rav Avadi, you're giving a big leniency for the girls to marry a boy as long as he learns for an hour. I'm a Ben Yeshiva, but I don't want to marry a Ben Cohen because I don't consider myself a Talmud Chacham, and I know I'm not a real Talmud Chacham. And it says that if I marry this Cohen, I'd rather marry a similar Bas Yisrael or Bas Levi. I don't want to marry Bas Cohen because it could be terrible for the marriage. Says Rav Avadi, chill out. Just because you got rid to a Kohenes, you don't have to push it off just because she's a Bas Kohen. If it's a good Shidduch, if this suggestion matches him, and all the other aspects, it's a good Shidduch, just don't reject the just because she's a Kohenes. It's not like, oh, forget it, I want to stay away from that. I'm scared of those Kohenes girls. I'm not a Tal Chachman. I don't know what's going to do to my marriage if I marry such a girl. Says Rav Avadia, you don't have to push a shidduch away just because she's a bas kohen because you're scared of the gemara. So that's halacha lemaisa. We're coming out with two interesting points. Number one, that if you are a bas kohen, you do have to make sure you don't marry an am haaretz. So Rav Avadia watered it down and said, as long as he's religious, and at least as long as he learns an hour a day. But if you have a guy who doesn't learn an hour a day, a bas kohen should really look for a little bit more than her friends, maybe. If you have a bas kohen who's not necessarily the greatest Beis Yaakov girl, and all of her friends are looking for a certain type of guy, she might have to look for a guy a little bit higher than her friends. Only because, not because of who she is as a person, but because of her pedigree. Because she was born to a Kohen family, she has to maintain the dignity of Bnei Aaron.
I don't know if we mentioned, but the Gemara in Kesubas talks about the Kesuba of a Bas Kohen. It was a tekufa where it was twice, maybe only Yushalayim, it was twice as high. It was
the ksuvas of Bas Kohen was a greater, was a more substantial sum of money.
Right.
That's when they married a Yisrael, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, so they were hot items on the markets. To be Chabit Kahuna, they gave a higher ksuva to a Bas
Kohen. They had status, they were aristocracy.
Yeah, there's
a lot of Ksuba. I don't know how long that lasted. Yeah.
So I remember I have a brother in Eretz Yisrael. He writes articles about Choshen Mishpat. Some of you might have seen his articles. So that appear in numerous newspapers.
Sure,
married a Bas Kohen, as did I. And I remember my eldest niece, was very angry at her father. No, at her mother. When she was a little girl, she was probably like 7 years old, 8 years old. She said, Ima, your Zaidi is a Kohen, and how could you marry Abba? He's not a Kohen. So I remember that, saying that, and saying, when I get married, I'm going to marry a Kohen, not like you, Ima. And my sister would tell her, just marry a good boy, just marry a Talmud Chacham, don't worry if he's a Kohen or not. And I'm laughing, because I remember hearing my niece say that, my brother's older than me, my brother and sister-in-law are 10, a bunch of years older than me, so I remember hearing that and laughing. And here I am, married a Bas Kohen, I could see, my daughter saying, Mommy, why did Dad marry me, Uri Orlean? Why do you marry Abba? After all, I'm only going to marry a Kohen, not like you, Ima. So, okay, it's true.
Send her to me, I'll put in a good word.
Thank you, I'll send it to you. Okay, so I want to finish off with one more sif, another sif, which is shorter sif, and also very interesting, and that's the issue of older men marrying younger women or older women marrying younger men, significantly younger. Let's not give a number. Let's say if it's more than 20 years, there's something to question. So this is a new topic. I think we could begin, if that's okay, if you have time. If you have to go, please go, but we'll spend 10 minutes on this topic. So the Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos has nothing to do with getting married. Rather, it has to do with Yibam. And the Gemara in Yevamos darshins, again, new topic, new Sif. You see the big red demarcation? Sif test. Up to the next point. So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us the fact that when a guy has to do Yibam, and of course he could do Yibam or Chalitza, the Pasuk says that the Chacham of the city should speak to him. Well, you have to speak to him. You're a rabbi. You have a Beis Din. Do what you got to do. There's often a very interesting thing that people are concerned when they're getting divorced to go to a Beis Din for the get, because they're worried that the Beis Din is going to question, should they get married? Should they get divorced? Should they not get divorced? Why is they getting divorced? Whose fault is it that they're getting divorced? There's certain about the Din that are very professional. You walk into the Beis Din, you say, I want to get. They say, what's your name? What's your, how do you spell it? Let's give you a get, and that's it. They don't try to, fix your marriage. So here, all of a sudden, when it comes to Yibam, the Chachamim should talk to the guy. What is there to talk about? He has to do Yibam. You want to do Chalitza? Do Chalitza. What is there to schmooze about? The Pasuk says the Chachamim should schmooze with him. For Dibru Elav, says the Gemara Nivamis, that teaches us, we try to advise him what would be wise for him to do as far as Yibam or not. For example, let's say the Yavam is 14 years old, and the Yavama is his older brother. His older brother is much older than him, and his wife, and she's a 40-year-old lady. He's 14. So what would we say? We say, you know, young fella, Mr. 14-year-old, I would strongly advise you to do chalitza in this case. Shimha Yahu Yalad, he's the Kena. Or the opposite. Let's say he's 80 years old, and he has a brother who's, significantly younger than him. Let's say he had a brother he's 80. He had a brother who's 65, 50 years younger. And a 65-year-old guy married a girl who's 15 years younger than him. So he's 80, she's 50. And, he said, oh, yeah, I'll give you to her. She's 30 years younger than me. We say, sir, with all honor that you as an 80-year-old deserve, I don't think it's the smart thing that you should marry a girl 30 years younger than me. Huzakin v'yalda, omrim lo, malacha etzel yalda. What are you, you're a mature person. What are you going to a little girl for? Or the opposite. What are you, a young boy? What are you doing marrying Isaac Kena? Kalecha etzel shekamoscha. Go to somebody who's similar to you. Al tachris ketata sofesata. You marry somebody where it's just, far off. It's just going to bring fighting into the house. She's not going to appreciate you. You're not going to appreciate her. If there's too much of an age gap, again, I'm not talking 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I'm talking about significance of an age gap. The Chachamim say, we're learning from this pasuk as a din d'oraisa, it seems, perhaps, at least nasmachta, maybe even a din d'oraisa, the Chachamim should talk a person out of Yibam if there's a significant age gap. Gzeiros HaKasav, or din d'oraisa by Yibam. That's one source. Another source. Very unusual pasuk. Pasuk says that you should not, I don't know how to say this in a nice way, do not sell your daughter to Zmus. I mean, who would sell his daughter to Zmus? What kind of people are we talking about? Daish is the Gemara Sanhedrin 9:5. Tanya Alt Chalos Bichel Hasnosa. What does that mean? Rabbi Lezer Amen Zeha Mesias Bita Lezake. You want to save money on the wedding. You don't want to shell out money for the wedding. You want to get your daughter big dowry. Okay, so you'll marry your 19-year-old daughter to a guy who's 50 years old who already made it big. He's a multimillionaire, and he's very happy to take a 19-year-old, and you'll end up with you'll get a little cut from the millions that she's walking into. No, that's not what you do. You don't do such a thing. You don't marry your daughter to an elderly person, to an older person. Again, we don't have numbers here. Obviously, it depends on the whatever is considered normal, whatever community, but a significant age gap is not something you should set your daughter up for. And based on these two separate Gemaras, one by Yibam and one stand by marriage, the Rambam paskins these halachas. Of course, Rambam starts off saying numerous different points. The last point, one is that we'll get to. Eino yesh rashi leishav lo isha. A person shouldn't stay single. A man should get married again, even if he doesn't have. A person shouldn't be single. Secondly, lo yista akara zekena sheinu leilid. If a man is able to bear children, he shouldn't marry a woman who's postmenopausal and unable to bear children, nor should he marry a little girl who's too young to get married, to have children, because he should bear children. However, if a woman wants to stay single her whole life, or to marry a person who's sterile, that's fine, because she doesn't have misapproval. Rishus ha'isha shalo tinasi la'olam, o tinasi l'stress, that's a separate issue. Midrabanan, we're worried about chashad, so we want women to get married also. But make her a dinner, a woman's not obligated to prove it. Look at what I underlined. Velo yisa bachar zekena. A young man shouldn't marry an elderly woman. Velo yisa zaken yad. An elderly man should not marry a young woman. Shedavar ze gorim liznus. One party will not be satisfied with the other party, and it's going to lead to znus. And that's exactly how the next sif in Shulchan Aruch paskins. This is what we're learning now. Shulchan Aruch sim beis sif tes. One second. Lo yisa bachar zekena. Velo zaken yalda. A young man should marry an elderly woman. And young woman should marry an elderly man. Shadav is a gorimlessness. Can I ask you a question? What happens if they really like each other? What happens if they really like each other? He's 80 years old. She's 40 years old. And they both love badminton. You know, it's just not so easy to find people who really like badminton and really like, you know, Star Wars. And he found the perfect girl who loves badminton and Star Wars. She found the guy who loves badminton and Star Wars. What's 40 years? How many people are there out there who like badminton and Star Wars? I mean, I'm Star Trek. You know, I'm saying, you know, how many people are there like that and have both, share both of my favorite things in the world, badminton and Star Trek? So maybe what happens if it happens? And I can't get married just because they're 40 years apart. That's the reason they can't get married. They share values. They share everything. They're attracted. They love each other. They just happen to be 40 years apart. So says the Chalkas Mechokik. I am safe in Chassidim. Shein Isser Bedavar im he Misratz Lekach. If she's really, you know, if she's Misratz Lekach, she's not being forced into it. She's doing it willingly. She's happy with it. So it's not Isser. Maybe Shamaisan, the Sefer Hasidim, I tried to look it up, wasn't able to find it quickly enough. Brings a story, Shabesula Achas Nisik Zakain, Asher Hisa Hoysa Hafetzabo, a certain young lady did marry an elderly person. The Yotzmein Baram Tanya Chachamim. We have some stories about the great Talmidei Chachamim who oftentimes after they lost their first wife, and now they're already known as great leaders of the generation, that they married a younger woman who is very much willing to be a part of the family of a great Talmud Chacham. We have such stories. We have a fascinating indication story that Sefer Chassidim might be based on the following. So again, Sefer Chassidim says, there are situations when an older man marries a younger woman, and they have Talmidei Chachamim. They could build a healthy family, a beautiful family. So in Avos Derbi Nosson, we'll just about finish two more, this and then one more system will be done for the day. Rabbi Elazar told a story about Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol fulfilled the halacha Gidol es bas achos or shloshit reishana imo b'mita. Ad shabol asimanim. He had, maybe his sister died, and he took in his niece, a little girl, she was an orphan girl, he raised her. And then when she got old enough to get married, he said, okay, go get married. You turn 12, you're 13, whatever it is, you're mature, time for you to get married. And she said to him, Uncle Eliezer, it would be the greatest honor for me. I see your Gadol Hadar, your Talmud Chacham. It would be the greatest honor for me to be able to marry you, my uncle, instead of me marrying some other guy. Amr lo halo amascha anochi. L'shifcha lirchotz ragli tamidcha. I want to... amascha anochi. I don't understand this exactly. I don't know if she's saying it as a question, like, I should wash the feet of your, I should wash and take care of like your Talmidim. I'd rather take care of you, the Rebbe, than marry one of your Talmidim and wash their feet and take care of them. Amala, he says, my dear niece, Piti, Krizakanti, I'm older already. Go marry somebody your age. Siva hisnasi lebachar shekmaseich. You're young, you have a life ahead of you. Marry somebody like you. You could share your life together. You could appreciate one another. You know, you're on the same, you know, why are you going? Forget it. Why me? I'm an old man. Amar lo. Lo. Kach amarti lefanecha. I told you. Halo amascha l'shivcha. Lirchos ragli tamidecha. Again, I'm not trying to read that. I'm not interested in your tamidim. I want to marry you. That's what she really wanted. Kevin shesham es toreha. Not a man reshus v'kidsha v'bala. Very unusual chazal. You see two things. A, he tried to avoid it. And B, only after she really demonstrated that she really wanted to marry him, that was the only circumstance where he was willing to allow, and he went ahead and did marry her. So that's a very unusual source. I want to just finish off. Again, we do see once in a while, you know, for some reason it works better if you're a billionaire, I think. But we do see once in a while younger people marrying older people. And when it happens, it's usually because there's a lot of money somewhere. I think we had a case, Shaila, that we learned a few months ago. I don't remember which, if it was, but in Simon Aleph, we had a case where there was a young man. Oh, yeah, I remember where we were talking about that you should always marry somebody. This is the last source, then we're going to be done. We were talking about the mitzvah that you have to marry somebody who could bear children. We had a Shaila where there's a young man, and he wanted to marry a 90-year-old lady. And the Chachamim, the base, they took, the community took this guy to base and says, you have a chiyuv of peruvu, you can't marry this 90-year-old postmenopausal woman. just because she's really rich, and the based in Paskin that if she wants somebody young to take care of her in her old age, and obviously who's marrying her for her money, so she's entitled, and they can't get involved. They can't stop such a marriage.
It makes it easier for his next zivug.
It makes it easier for what?
His next zivug.
His next year, right. He'll wait 2-3 years. He'll end up with $1 million. He'll get a very good. He'll get a good wife the next time around because he's a rich guy now. Okay, very good. So look at this Achashov with which we'll finish. He says you have to really know that she really does want to marry him. It can't be a situation that she's sort of forced into a situation, or even if he could tell that she doesn't really want him, it's just for the money, it's just for this, just for that, just for the social, the political clout, whatever it is. But the MS, then it's mutter. Based on the same chassid, he quotes that there's stories that some, you know, it has happened that they build beautiful families. Omnam, im ritzona hu rak mipneshu hu ashir. If she wants to marry this guy, not because, you know, they both love badminton and Star Trek, not because they share their values and because they really love each other, but because she loves his bank account, that's not proper. Eino me'arov lasos. So if you know what's going to end up happening, I'll tell you what's going to happen. K'shetisragel osher, people get accustomed to being rich very fast.
Yeah.
I never heard of a person who had a hard time, you know, getting accustomed to becoming rich. You know, you marry into a very wealthy family, oh, the hard adjustment. No. You're coming adjusted very quickly.
The Yiddish saying.
What happens once you become adjusted and the awe of wealth, you know, the dazzle of wealth starts to just, you know, become, you know, nothing. It's not dazzling anymore. The stars in the eyes just fade because you're used to having money. You know what's going to happen? Tokutz Nashabo. She's going to come to hate him. Tevakesh Tafkida, she's going to go look to satisfy her desires elsewhere, and nothing good is going to come of this marriage. So it might be exciting for the beginning because of the money, but afterwards she's not going to be satisfied with such a person. She'll become used to having such money, and she's going to want to take care of her interests elsewhere with somebody else, and it's going to come to destroy the marriage. So therefore, unless if it's really indeed for the money, it shouldn't happen. So we just finished 2 Seifim, Baruch Hashem. We did 2 Seifim today. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll finish off Seif Beis.
Gabe, one of the things the Rav said earlier, I know of one case of a woman who was engaged to a young man from the yeshiva, whom she thought was gavaldik. But of course, it's not hard to impress, you should pardon me, but it's not hard to impress women with what we learn in the yeshiva because they don't know. They don't know a ketzos, they don't know Rambam. So it's easy to impress. She has stars in her eyes. She was advised after the engagement that he really isn't that much and he's not highly regarded in the yeshiva. She's impressed and she broke the engagement based on that advice, married someone else who was an ace Talmud Chacham, raised a beautiful family and was forever thankful to the Rav who advised her that she was really setting her sights lower than she thought and she would not have been happy in the long run with the first Zivik. And she was very proud of her. The husband, and I mean, it worked out wonderfully for her, and she was very thankful for that advice. You know?
I guess it's a complicated story because I'd be scared to make that advice after somebody's already engaged, just because you know, you think your guy, your cousin knows how to learn. I got a lot of parts, you know, not every part I go to, you know, yeah, the guy really know how to learn. I guess it depends. It probably was the kind of boy who wasn't coming to Shacharis and wasn't thought it was sleeping
till. Well, more than just, I think, a parishioner, so it was, I think, somebody that the Rav knew from a prior life. I mean, as a child, maybe. I mean, the family knew each other. He felt comfortable.
It's probably more complicated. It must be a little more there.
Anyway, okay. I don't know. Thanks, Guts.
Very good. So thank you, everybody. Good to see you. Thank you, Mr. Belsky. Good to have you here. Hold on a second.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Rabbi, I came across a citation in apparently Rabbi Nathan HaKohen Adler, who was a chief rabbi in England in 1863.
Was that Rabbi Adler? Or the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer? Or is that somebody else?
Somebody else.
Too late. The Chasam Sofer.
Yeah, right. That's
different
the one.
Adler Rabbi. That was a different Adler Rabbi.
Okay. Different Rebbe Nathan Adler. Okay.
Put out a ruling that the daughter of a Kohen may only marry a non-Kohen. Now, I can't find the original rationale for that, but it's an interesting point, historical point.
I don't know. Maybe he was worried about genetics. maybe they were starting to see, you know, in breeding called, you know, there, you know, whatever, you know, genetic mutations that he was worried about. Maybe he thought that they was too focused on marrying Kohanim and they weren't focused on marrying Bnei Torah or Tanei Chachamim. Or there must have been some type of, you know, Eis Lasso situation. Obviously, if he's putting out an edict, there must have been some historical or societal issue that he was responding to with that,
right,
with that edict, I would assume. That's fascinating. Well,
apparently, his competition for the chief rabbinate of England at the time was Shamshon Raphael Hirsch.
Yeah. Wow.
Rabbi Ava was a very prominent person. He was put out of Siddur, didn't he? Rabbi Ava Siddur, Chumash.
Okay. Fascinating. So there must have been something that, something historical. So Yossi, you have a job. You have to find out for us, Yossi, what was the issue of the day in England in the 1850s that prompted the chief rabbi to say that Kohanim should, against the Gemara, to go against the Kohanim, Kohanas shouldn't look for Kohanim.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.